Last month, the Associated Press revealed that the Obama administration's Department of Justice had secretly collected 2 months' worth of the news agency's reporters' phone call records from several bureau offices, the House of Representatives press gallery, and individual journalists' home and cell phones. The Justice Department's collection of these phone records is linked to the agency's investigation into a government leak which surfaced in a 2012 AP story about a foiled terrorist bomb plot in Yemen targeting a U.S.-bound airliner. In a related development, the Department of Justice had recently admitted to spying on Fox News chief Washington correspondent James Rosen to pursue criminal charges under the Espionage Act against State Department advisor Stephen Jin-Woo Kim, who had allegedly provided Rosen with confidential information on North Korea's nuclear tests. What's most disturbing to many First Amendment advocates is the FBI's characterization of Rosen as possibly being an aider and abettor and/or co-conspirator in the leaking of classified information. The aggressive pursuit of government leaks by the Obama White House has resulted in a doubling of the number of whistleblower investigations under the 1917 Espionage Act than in all previous presidential administrations combined. Your reporter spoke with Shahid Buttar, executive director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, who explains why he believes the Obama Justice Department's surveillance of journalists' phone lines directly threatens America's First Amendment rights and freedom of the press.
The freedom of the press is one of the defining elements of a free society, and as we claim to lead the free world, we have long hung our hat on the principle that the media in the United States is free. The Justice Department's not merely request, but outright seizure of telecommunications by the Associated Press, it not only strikes a blow at the very heart of the First Amendment, but by striking a blow at the principle of a free press, and just to make it clear for your listeners, the press can't be free if its sources are available to the state. There is a crucial principle of source anonymity that animates press freedom, and when that anonymity is gone, when the press cannot report, for instance, state abuses, that is very definitionally part of authoritarianism, and we are tinkering, without meaning to and without anyone realizing it, the very underpinnings of our society. And I do think it is an open question at the moment whether the United States is even in the free world, let alone its leader. And I think these kinds of abuses on very fundamental freedoms are absolutely part of that concern.
As you just said, there are many critics out there who are talking about this Department of Justice collection of the Associated Press phone records as a very serious abuse of power, intimidation intended to chill investigative reporting. And I wonder if you could comment on what is your suggested method of limiting the government's ability to engage in this kind of spying on journalists in this post-9/11 era, where many of our civil liberties have been eroded.
Absolutely, and I think that's a crucial question. To his credit, and I say this with very much a grain of salt because I think President Obama has been very problematic on these issues. To his credit, he has, in the wake of the news stories about this seizure of records, come out in favor of a reporter shield law that would basically give reporters insulation from these kinds of government subpoenas. Now, here's the problem. First, he is prosecuting more government whistleblowers in the national security context in the last 5 years than in the entire preceding 225-year history of the Republic. And to propose a reporter shield law while viciously cracking down on whistleblowers, these are people in the federal bureaucracy who resign their careers to inform the public about important facts that are otherwise secret. The fact that the Obama administration is so viciously pursuing whistleblowers really stands in very sharp contrast to the welcome rhetoric about the reporter shield law. And absolutely, at a very minimum, we do need a reporter shield law, but we also need protections for whistleblowers. And it is long overdue for Congress and the executive branch to recognize the crucial role of whistleblowers. You know, I say this on the eve of Bradley Manning's trial at Fort Meade, and I think it's very telling that we prosecute people who try to expose to the public these very crucial facts about what acts are being committed in our name. It is very frustrating to see progressives co-opted by the Obama administration and consenting to or failing to criticize many of the very same abuses that under the Bush administration did cause us all very appropriate concern. Government secrecy is a problem. It doesn't matter who's at the top. Warrantless surveillance and dragnet wiretapping, it doesn't matter who's at the top. You know, these are not issues that we can simply dismiss merely because we have faith in the leaders at the top of the executive chain. And the fact that we've allowed the perpetuation of Bush-era abuses under the Obama administration and the silence of progressives in the wake of this ongoing assault, I think, is not only disappointing, but points to a particular weakness in the Republic.
Shahid Bhattar, as you and many of our listeners are aware, there are a lot of people in this country who believe that in an instance where national security is at stake and the safety of the population, that we can and should sacrifice civil liberties and our constitutionally guaranteed protections for things like freedom of the press. How do you respond to the idea that there should be exceptions to the rule, that if somehow the government perceives a danger, that they can cross that line and erode freedom of the press?
It puts the cart before the horse. The fundamental misunderstanding, people who would think that national security justifies the violation of core constitutional rights, forget what we're defending. It's not a territory, and it's not just a people, it's a set of principles, right? The struggle against violent extremism is a struggle about a set of principles, namely the right of the people to be governed as we wish instead of dictated to by violent, warmongers or promoters of whatever, principles of radical faith they might espouse. It's the right of the people to have, for instance, freedom of religion. It's the right of the people, for instance, to know what our government is doing instead of, for instance, in some of the countries from which terrorism is being exported. You know, these are very closed governments. If we are interested in actually fighting a struggle to defend America, we can't compromise what America is at the outset. When we give up our civil liberties, we do the work of our enemies for them, right? Osama bin Laden did not bring down the United States. Bush did. And when you think about the damage wrought to our constitutional republic, two fallen office buildings in New York pale in comparison to the Patriot Act. They pale in comparison to the amendments to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that let the NSA tap the back end of the internet and the phone system. They pale next to the horrible abuses of due process apparent at Guantanamo Bay. They pale next to the National Defense Authorization Act and the authority to detain Americans on the basis of suspicion without trial or proof of crime. We have inflicted vastly more damage on the United States by assaulting our own rights than any terrorists have ever committed through violent acts.
That was Shahid Bhattar, Executive Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Find links to more news and information on groups challenging the erosion of civil liberties and press freedom on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.